Greetings and welcome on board WKOK Sunrise. I'm lucky enough to be on the campus of Susquehanna University right now, and I am talking to Dr. Stacy Pearson Wharton, Dean of the Health and Wellness Program here and Director of the Counseling Center at Susquehanna University. But they call you Dr. Stacy, right?
They do. Good morning, Mark.
Well, good morning. Thank you so much for agreeing to this. I really appreciate this. Introduce yourself a little bit to our audience and include the fact that this isn't the first time you've answered these couple questions that I have.
So I have the pleasure of serving as the Dean of Health and Wellness and Director of the Counseling Center here at Susquehanna, and have been very actively involved with the team here looking to bring our community back in the fall and do that in a safe and well way. So this is probably the first meeting I've had today that has not been about COVID.
So you're probably glad just to talk about something else.
It's the first time in a long time that that hasn't been the case. But I also have the pleasure of working as a national speaker around issues of diversity, inclusion, equity, and race and racism. And that's part of my passion. One of the things that I actually did over the pandemic was started a podcast called Being the Dot, which is focused on Black, Indigenous, people of color thriving in white spaces.
And what will we find on one of the podcasts? We'll look it up. Being the Dot?
Being the Dot. Okay. Like the spot or the ink blot or the chip in the cookie can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Podcast.
And where are you the dot?
Most places, okay. I would venture
it's
to say.
It's just that simple.
Particularly in the Valley here that I find that I have more dotish, if you will, moments that I am one or a few people of color in white spaces.
And give me an example of some of the things that are brought up and talked about in the podcast.
So there are things like what it's like to be an executive in a Fortune 500 company and excel to that level as an African-American person. There's one about transitioning to natural hair for Black women in white spaces. I interviewed a Hollywood producer who worked at Sony Pictures for a very long time and talking about with her about how she uses her voice at the table. Talked to another author of the book Team 7, and he talks a little bit about managing and dealing with other people's reactions to him as the angry Black man.
Right. So when you're talking about being the dot, it isn't a lament. You're not talking about a long list of incidents that happened. This is all forward looking stuff.
It is absolutely very. I mean, and certainly you can't deny some of the tribulations or trials that come along with being the dot. But we really do turn the corners, and there are stories of inspiration and strategy and resource building that my goal is to really focus on people who are thriving in these spaces.
And in what way do you think about that a lot, all the time? Sometimes this idea that you're in a predominantly white community and you're one of the dots around here, but you're excelling and thriving and you're certainly well-respected here and really just a great participant in our valley.
Well, it's cool that I've said before in other spaces that my husband and I have built a really wonderful life here. He has a business that's thriving. I'm here at the university. We belong and have very strong connections to faith community as well, and just friends and people who love us. And even in that, there are moments in time that that we both have had experiences that have felt like, what was that? Was that racism, or was that somebody having a bad day, or something different? And so that we are not, even in the goodness, in the blessings of our lives, we are not protected or immune to experiencing racism here in the Valley.
Layla Saad, I was just telling you about her book about white supremacy, meaning white supremacy, whites are kind of have been the deciders of a lot of things globally for a long time.
Sure.
She talks about a racial rap sheet, which is a list of events, either written or unwritten, where people of color have incidents, run-ins, what was that? I think you described, you know, one of the situations might be, wait, what was that? Was it racism? Do you have a racial rap sheet?
I struggle with the rap sheet connotation because it connotes criminalization and almost that the victim is the one who is the criminal. When I think about somebody's rap sheet, I don't think about all the great things they've done. I think about criminal things, but I will answer your question nevertheless. That, I mean, certainly there have been times that I've been asked if I'm paying for food by food stamps in the grocery store or walking in a business suit and asking me if I'm part of the cleaning crew, or there have been times when I've been with maybe a male subordinate or somebody who reports to me, and we're meeting somebody, and they will, and a white male, they will immediately go to that person to ask the questions that need to be asked of me as the leader in the space. I mean, so there have been some things that have happened here in the Valley that have been kind of uncomfortable, certainly stares. And I just think about an incident at the farmer's market. My husband's business is a baking business, David's Delicious Delights. He would kill me if I didn't say that.
Oh, please. Thank you.
And somebody came up to the stand and said, "Boy, you colored stir can cook." And I thought, oh, wow. So, and this was last year. This was last season. And so there are absolutely things that happen that that we experience in really horrible ways. But and I think there's the big ones, like those kind of watershed things. But then there's the normal kind of daily slights that happen that you're trying to consistently make meaning of what it was about. And trying to figure out, like, if did I do something wrong? And what's the meat here? What's the bones? Is this for me to take in? Is this not mine to hold?
White privilege.
Sure.
You talk about this sometimes. So
I do.
The phrase you used is, you can help me unpack it, so please.
So here's the thing. I am, and your listeners can't see me, but I will just tell them. I'm African American. I am a female. I am heterosexual. I am Christian, and I am middle class, and I'm mostly able-bodied. Like, I have these glasses on, so, and other things, right? And so as it relates to, privilege doesn't mean that you haven't worked hard. What privilege means is that you haven't struggled because of your race. That's all it means. It doesn't mean that somebody has done something wrong. And so, as I share, I'm middle class. That's an area where I have privilege, that there are things that I, in this pandemic, that I just have not had to worry about. I can work from home. We have adequate Wi-Fi. We got a new router, another printer, like that. There are just things that I'm not worried about, food and retirement. And there are just things that I'm not, that because I have middle class, that there's privilege there. I'm heterosexual. And so I never have to worry about holding my husband's hand, walking down the street, and people targeting us because of that. That's privilege. I am also Christian, right? I never have to take off my big holidays. Like, if it's my big holidays, Christmas and Easter, the whole joint is going to be shut down, right?
Okay.
And so that's a, and I'm not going to be stopped in the airport because of that identity or thought of negatively as a terrorist or anything like that. So those are all places where I hold privilege, that I am Christian, I am middle class, and I forgot what the other thing was that I said.
A female.
And no, not female.
Heterosexual.
Heterosexual, right? And I also, am mostly able-bodied. Like I have some hidden disabilities that you can't see, but I am temporarily fully able-bodied because we're all going to break down at some point. Where I don't hold privilege is being black and female. And so in our culture, there are some groups that get the goodies just like it's air, not because you've earned it. Like my PhD, I earned that. So anything that comes because of that, I earned it. However, just because you are white doesn't mean that you have earned any privilege, but there is things that come along with that. So let me give you a couple examples. So I never, so the other day I was going to, a department store here in town and I wanted to match up a jacket with a shirt. I wanted to get a shirt to go with a jacket. And I thought, oh, I'll just swipe the jacket and go. But I stopped myself because I thought I don't want anybody to, because sometimes I get followed in the department stores. I don't want anybody to assume that I'm stealing. So let me go get a nice enough bag, not a Walmart bag, but let me go get a nice enough bag to make sure that that the interaction and that this shopping experience is pleasant. The color of pantyhose is nude. And so nude on you, Mark, will look a little different than nude on me. Okay. Or the color of bandages. Or that oftentimes is the automatic benefit of the doubt. Because there are so many negative messages out there about African Americans, I'm always fighting to shift that in people or to prove that that stereotype doesn't necessarily apply to me versus my same white colleague gets the automatic benefit of the doubt. So if I'm late to a meeting, it could have meaning versus if you're late to a meeting, it may have a different meaning.
I for some reason, it pops into my head that I have to tell our audience that we brought all this up. We asked you to come here. We said these are the kind of things I want to explore. I want to talk about this, that you didn't say, Mark, you didn't demand that I come over. You're not on the street corner and flag me down, that you don't wear this stuff on your sleeve. I mean, if somebody invites you to speak, you're there.
Right.
But
most of the time.
You don't wear this on your sleeve to the point where it's in anybody's face anytime.
Well, I'm brown, and so that's in your face. That makes me that's a flag in and of itself. And so, no, I'm not talking about race and racism issues all the time. And even I don't think I have the luxury to talk about that, that there's some amount of racism that's involved with the fact that that there's not that liberty to do that all the time. Like, I don't want to be seen as the angry black woman.
Is your husband black?
He is.
You may have told me. Okay. So women say people say that women will clutch their purses when he's walking down.
Absolutely. So it happens all the time.
That's a real deal.
Unequivocally. And then here's the thing, Mark. We all are subject to the same messages, right? And you do not, what research tells us is that you don't have to believe a stereotype in order to be impacted by it. And so there are moments in time that I may grab my purse as an automatic reaction to this, because I've been taught in some ways by the dominant narrative, by news programs and TV shows and all of those things, the same things at some level. And so I know that if I carry some internalized racism, how is it not possible that my white brothers and sisters would not as well?
So if we're back on the topic, all the way back around to white privilege, I don't have to say I accept it or I somehow benefit from it. Nothing I really say about it impacts anything. It's just
is
there. It
and
is.
I mean, even the privilege for people to say I don't see color. Well, that's nice for you, but I live in a world where a lot of people do. And my safety is at risk if I don't recognize that.
Tell me, if someone says to you, you're colorblind, they're colorblind, that isn't a little tiny red flag for you.
It's worrisome, and I think people don't understand that when they say that, it can oftentimes be experienced as an erasure, like you don't see me. So I'm in the world having this set of experiences that are that people are treating me in a certain way, that I'm making less money, that it's difficult for me to find housing, that my educational system is not as great, right, because of the way that the system works, that more tax dollars are put into white schools than into black schools. And this is not conjecture. This is all kind of things that are a fact and proven in the research and literature. But So there's the denial. I don't see color, but I'm living a life as a person of color. And to pretend that you don't see color is almost like you don't see me. And oftentimes, I'm assuming that white people don't oftentimes say that to each other. I don't see color. Right?
It doesn't bother me that you're white to a fellow.
Right. And so if that is the case, if you don't see color, then why are you saying that to me? But there'd be no reason to exclaim that to me unless you saw my color.
Yeah, some local students who talked to the Daily Item said that some of their teachers for whatever reason, at some point, anytime, felt compelled to make sure it was clear that they didn't see color.
Yeah, and that's not helpful. And so I think if you are really wanting to up your game and find yourself in a place where you're being an ally with people of color, that's something that I probably would not say.
Everybody who sits in the interview chair gets asked the same question, and so you will too. What should we do?
So I think there are a myriad of things that can be done to help build your muscle. Because I think building your muscle as anti-racist, because it's not enough to just not be racist anymore, that it's really important to actively be doing things that are anti-racist. Mark, you mentioned earlier that you're reading the book White Supremacy and Me, that's a really great way to kind of educate yourself to understand these issues better and to be open that the things that we were taught may or may not be completely true, that to explore. I mean, I often say it's not that hard to collect knowledge right now, like Google.com. Right? That you don't have to work so hard for it. I mean, a couple other books that I would recommend, Why Do All the Black Kids Sit Together in the Cafeteria by Beverly Tatum.
I just saw that about Documentary 13. I don't know if you
recommend
it, but
that's a good one. That's a good one about the prison industrial complex.
Who knew?
Right.
Honestly, I had no idea.
Exactly. I mean, even How to Be Anti-Racist by Kendi, 35 Dumb Things Well-Intended People Say by Maura Cullen. That book is a great starter.
Title again and author.
35 Dumb Things Well-Intended People Say. and it really, what she does is she differentiates intent from impact. Because lots of times what happens when we do or say something offensive to somebody, we get nervous and anxious and sometimes maybe even defensive, and we go to, well, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. But sometimes you can impact, you can do things that are impactful and not mean to. And it's important to focus on the people that you offended and not the fact that you didn't mean to offend them.
Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Yes, Between the World and Me. It's deep now. I mean, it took me. I read it on the beach, I think, last summer. But
you need better beach books. You need better beach books.
I do need better beach. I think some smut and romance, right?
Right. Well, but, I don't know.
But that's also another. I mean, but there are, even if you Googled white ally syllabus, that there are lots of things that will show up. Of good reads and videos and even books for your children, just the whole nine yards.
If I don't read and if I don't watch particular suggested programs, what else can I do?
If you have African-American people in your life, listen to them. And so if they're saying that I'm hurting, that this is a difficult time for me, listen to that. Be empathetic with them in the moment. Join the cause. And so maybe you get out there and you protest with them or with the Black Lives Matter movement. Or maybe even you send your money, if you have extra, to organizations that work on behalf of people of color. I mean, that you know, our treasure is where our heart is, right? And it's a little scripture for you. But so you can put your money where your mouth is. And if this is something that's important to you that you value, that you can put your treasure there, you can put your time there or your talent as well.
Dr. Stacy, all lives matter.
They do. You're right. But right now in our country, all lives do matter. Like, I want to be very, very clear about that. But right now in our country, Black people don't feel like their lives matter. And so they're asserting that into the conversation because there is not evidence that indicates that is the case in our country. And yes, I'm going to go back to slavery and all of the time, Jim Crow and sharecropping and segregation. I mean, really, we've only been out of this whole tethering Black people in formal ways. Although some may argue that we're not yet out of it. But, I mean, what was it, 65 years that we've since the desegregation movement? Maybe even not even that long, because it's been in my lifetime, and I'm 53. So it's not that we're saying that white lives don't matter. Of course they matter. They've always mattered. We know that. That's the "you" understood in the sentence. It's the assertion that Black Lives Matter because there seems to be a disproportionate number of African-American men unarmed being killed by the police. And then there are other ways that African-Americans and other people can feel like their lives don't matter, whether that be in healthcare, if we look at the COVID numbers, that Black men are three times as likely to be unarmed Black men to three times more likely to be shot and killed by the police than their white counterparts.
We're almost out of time.
Mm-hmm.
Open mic.
So I think I appreciate the opportunity for you to feature this on your show. I think it's a wonderful way that you are using your privilege and power for good. And so thank you for that. And I think that we are in this together. And so this is not a Black fight. This is not a white fight. That we are in this together. That our country is in distress right now. And part of that distress is because of the racial tension. Black people cannot turn that around by themselves, and partially because we didn't create it. And so we need your help to come alongside us, or even to lead the way to dismantle the system of racism. We can do this. I'm confident that we can work together to make things better.
Where can I download Being the Dot?
You can download it on iTunes, on Stitcher, and on Google Podcasts, as well as on my website, beingthedot.com.
And if people wish to contact you?
They can contact me at beingthedot.com, at gmail.com, beingthedot@gmail.com.
Dr. Stacy Pearson Wharton, Dean of Health and Wellness, Director of Counseling Center at Susquehanna University, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a blast.